You can turn your Bible, if you have one, to Psalm 136. The text is also printed there on the next couple pages of the bulletin. This is a psalm that repeats the refrain with every verse. His steadfast love endures forever, as the ESV puts it, or I've translated it here in the bulletins. His love is eternal, which gets a little closer to the very succinct Hebrew. So these are brief words, really brief words. His love is eternal. But they're so deep, they're so rich, so full of meaning, it's impossible to say enough about them, no matter how long you talk about these words. And so, if you're anything like me, when you read this psalm, it can be difficult to slow down and give your full attention to, especially this refrain, because it's repeated so many times. You know, our brains sort of shut off when we see something repeated so many times. But the psalmist can't even finish the sentence before constantly interrupting himself with a reminder of God's eternal love. He says it actually about 20 times in the course of one sentence here in this psalm. But please don't think of it like, you know, it's sort of a mindless chant. And don't be tempted just to skip over the refrain and pay attention only to the bits of verses in between. You've got poetry here, and with poetry like this, the repetition is not meant to be boring, obviously, or plodding. It's meant to be emphatic, to punctuate, to stamp meaning on the psalm. It's meant to be like a heartbeat for the psalm, a rhythm, a constant reference point. It's a bright, warm home to return to as you venture out to reflect on who God is and what he's done. So God can take a simple truth like this. His love is eternal. He can take what's familiar and pretty basic, really, for Christians. He can make it new to us, and he can make it more wonderful every time we hear it. God can do that. It's like G.K. Chesterton suggested about the daily repetition of the sun rising. You know, we might grow bored of it because of our weakness, actually. But God, in his abounding vitality, his childlike vitality, is actually strong enough to exult in what we would consider humdrum repetitive. So he shouts with delight to the sun every morning, do it again, do it again. And so God would have us look at his love over and over again, constantly, yet always with fresh eyes, with growing enthusiasm and insight. So let's ask God's help for that, that we'd be able to do that. And then let's read it. And we're going to read it together. I'll read the first part of each verse, and then we can read the refrain together. So let's pray. Father, your word is good because you're good, because your steadfast love endures forever, because you are steadfast love enduring forever. Help us to pay attention to your word. Help us to discover in it the goodness and greatness and glory of your love. Help us to do what this psalm calls us to do and give you thanks as we consider your love and your word together now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his love is eternal. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his love is eternal. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his love is eternal. To him who alone does great wonders, for his love is eternal. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his love is eternal. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his love is eternal. To him who made the great lights, for his love is eternal. The sun to rule over the day, for his love is eternal. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his love is eternal. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his love is eternal. And brought Israel out from among them, for his love is eternal. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his love is eternal. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his love is eternal. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his love is eternal. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his love is eternal. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his love is eternal. To him who struck down great kings, for his love is eternal. And killed mighty kings, for his love is eternal. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his love is eternal. And Og, king of Bashan, for his love is eternal. And gave their land as a heritage, for his love is eternal. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his love is eternal. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his love is eternal, and rescued us from our foes, for his love is eternal. He who gives food to all flesh, for his love is eternal. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his love is eternal. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, so the basic message of this psalm is pretty simple. Yahweh is the true and good God. He's the creator of heaven and earth, and he's the savior of his people. He's the one who blesses his people. So give thanks to Yahweh because his love is eternal. The psalm rehearses God's mighty works. Not all of them, some of them. Lots of big ones. sees them all as reasons for thanksgiving because they're all expressions of his eternal love. Right? So it isn't just enough to be told to be thankful, to focus on how you should be thankful to God, how you should respond to him with thanksgiving. Remembering and rehearsing and reflecting on the love of God is what evokes thanksgiving. That's why the psalmist does this. Right? So that's what the psalm does. That's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to remember and rehearse and reflect on God's love. And really, that's what we should be doing throughout all our lives. So the Hebrew word that's translated love here so many times, that word is hesed. You've probably heard of it. It's just one little word, and we translate it with just one little word, love. You cannot capture the full meaning of it with one little word. You need some modifiers to start to outline some of the definitions, some of the shape of God's love, which is why it's often translated here as steadfast love, like the ESV does. So hesed refers to Yahweh's particular love, his loyal love. That's steadfast, right? So it's his covenant love. It's the love that's promised particularly and faithfully to his people. So God, Yahweh, has made covenant promises to bless his people so that out of all the peoples, we shall be his people and he shall be our God. And there'll be a special relationship there between us. He's made covenant promises to bless us for that purpose. So he's committed to that relationship. As long as he lives, he promises to love us, even as he loves himself, which is what we talked about last week. His hesed love is merciful. It's gracious. It's not something we deserve because, you know, really we're just like all the other peoples in and of ourselves. We're sinners who do not deserve his favor, his attention, his love. So he's committed to taking on himself all the responsibilities for establishing and maintaining the special relationship that he wants us to have with him. And his hesed love, his covenant promise-keeping, faithful, loyal love, that's his rock-solid, absolutely faithful devotion to be good to us forever. And always. That's what it really means that his hesed love is eternal. We say his love is eternal, or his steadfast love endures forever. Literally, the Hebrew is saying, into eternity is his hesed love. So, in one sense, you know, his love is not bound, it's not limited by time. His love is without beginning. It's as eternal as God's own being. It's as eternal as the Father's love for the Son, as eternal as the Holy Spirit of love himself. His love is without ending. There's no expiration date. It will never waver, never falter. Not tomorrow, not a year from now, not a million years from now. As long as God lives, as long as the Father loves the Son in the eternal glory of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, when we use the word eternal or eternity, we have trouble conceiving of what that really means. I would warn against being really too philosophical about it, which we can get pretty easily. I've warned against something being too committed to your own ideas about what eternity is and what it means and how it shows up in the scriptures even. Don't bring your own ideas to it because we're prone to think of God's eternity as, you know, like being outside of time, being other than time in some sense. That's pretty abstract, and it abstracts the meaning of his eternal love, right? His love definitely isn't just outside time. You know, we're stuck here in time. It's out there. It's eternal. His covenant love is actually ever present. That's what that means. It's immediate. It's more present at every time than anything else. Here's what this really means, that God's love is eternal, that this, you know, refrain is the heartbeat of this psalm. It's not just to say that it's timeless, you know, wrap your mind around, it's without beginning, without ending, that it stretches infinitely into the distance of eternity. It means that his love is always, at every moment. There's no stop button, there's not even a pause button. Yahweh's hesed love is forever and always. He always acts in love for his people. The love of the triune God is so integral and so essential to his nature that the Apostle John makes the astounding assertion twice in 1 John 4. He says, God is love. This is his being, the being of the eternal God. So if the eternal being of the eternal God is eternal love, he's never, ever, at any moment, going to act in any way apart from his hesed love. Because he'd be acting apart from his own nature, apart from his own being. He's not going to do that. He can't do that. So everything God does, he does in hesed love, always and forever. And right there, you've said something so profound that is worth contemplating for the rest of our lives. Everything God does, he does in hesed love, always and forever. It's a simple statement, right? A concise confession of faith, easy to memorize, good to memorize. You're never going to exhaust all the meaning of it. His love is eternal. This can be a constant source of life and courage, and it should become the heartbeat of our whole lives with God to remember that his love is eternal. It's the bright, warm home to which we're constantly returning. It's that praising refrain that becomes our reference point, our anchor in any and every single circumstance of our lives. At any moment, we may confess with thanksgiving that his love is eternal, his love is present, his love is even now. We might not always understand how his love is at work even now, at every moment. But the psalm's teaching us to interpret, to read all of God's works in light of his eternal hesed love. And it does give us some idea of the shape of that love, right? The specific definition of God's covenant love. Yahweh's love is the steady heartbeat of every moment in the entire history of all of his wondrous works. That's what we see in this psalm. The history of God's works in creation first and then in salvation. It's being unfolded like a scroll, and it's being recited with the emphatic punctuation, the refrain, stamping his eternal love on every single line of history. The psalm begins by celebrating who Yahweh is. He's good, verse 1. He's the God of gods. Verse 2, he's the Lord of lords. Verse 3, that is to say, this particular God, called him by name, Yahweh, he's made himself known to a particular people for a real relationship. He's revealed his nature. He's revealed his character. He's revealed his will by his works and by his word. This God is the one true good God whose hesed love is eternal, which is cause for thanksgiving and joy and praise. This God is Lord, which means he defines the very idea of lordship. You want to know what it means to be a Lord? Look to this God. This God and no other. He is the God who's before and behind and above everything that exists. This God defines reality itself because he's the creator of all things. That's what the next part of the psalm is about, verses 4 through 9. Yahweh alone does great wonders. By understanding, he made the heavens. He spread out the earth above the waters. He made the great lights, the sun to rule over the day, the moon and the stars to rule over the night. So this is just some of the language from Genesis 1, the account of the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. He alone is the creator who brings forth everything out of nothing, who brings light out of darkness, who brings order out of chaos, who brings meaning out of the void. And he does this, and he alone does this, because his love is eternal. So he didn't create in some way that was out of accordance with his nature. He created because he is the God that he is, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God of eternal love, the inexhaustible fountain spring of life flooding forth in creation, because his love is eternal. That's why he made all things. And we can be thankful to him that he's the creator, the one whose love is eternal, and no other. We can be thankful that Yahweh and no other is the reason why all things exist. It's only because this God, because his love is eternal, it's only because he has worked the wonders of creation that we even exist, that we have our being, and that we can enjoy all the cosmos as an act of his love. All the places, all the motions, all the elements of the universe, even time itself, which is kept in the courses of the sun and the moon and the stars and the day and the night, the creation of the heavens and the earth is an act of the hesed love of God. It's an act of his absolute commitment to bless his people. So the cosmos is no mistake. It's all the deliberate work of the God whose very being is love. His covenant love is the bedrock foundation for all reality. His love comes first. His love initiates everything. His love is free. Nothing outside of him required him or compelled him to create all things. His love's not a response or a reward in any sense. His love creates that which is not. His love creates a new particular people to receive his love. His love sets us free from slavery and brings us into new places in our relationship with him where we can celebrate his love. It's pictured for us in the great event of salvation in Israel's history, which is recorded in the next several verses of this psalm. When Yahweh set them free from Egyptian slavery, he led his people out through the wilderness, he defeated their enemies, he brought them into their new home, into the place where he had promised to dwell with them. He's going to be their God, they're going to be his people in this new life together. That's the salvation history this psalm remembers, with the heartbeat, the refrain, stamping God's love on every moment of it. God struck Egypt with terrible plagues because his covenant love for his people is eternal. So God's hesed love is not all, you know, puppies and roses. It's not something to be trifled with. It's deadly serious. But make no mistake, when he struck down the firstborn of Egypt, when he overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, when he struck down kings and killed mighty kings, these are outworkings of his faithful love to his people. Yahweh wrestled his people free from their oppression, from the evil rulers of this world who stood between them and the new places that he's going to bring them in his relationship with them. God brought his people into this new place through their baptism in the Red Sea, as he led them through their wilderness wanderings for 40 years, as he plundered their enemies and gave their land to his people as a heritage, as an inheritance, something that the Father gives to a son. Everything pictured here in salvation history of Israel was recapitulated again. It's in Jesus, on behalf of all of us as God's people. In Jesus, God did it again. What he did for Israel, he's done for all of us on a grander scale. This time in the perfect fulfillment of salvation, bringing us all into new places in our relationship with him where we can celebrate his hesed love with thanksgiving forever. So Jesus is the very incarnation of God's love for his people. He is, in one person, he's the perfect and everlasting union of God and man, God and humanity. If you wonder whether God truly loves us with an eternal love, just consider the fact that he's so devoted to us that he took our own human nature to himself to be his own. He became one of us. His commitment to us will endure as long as he remains himself, which is one of us. That is to say, his steadfast love endures forever because of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. God's love, his eternal love for us, has been at work in every moment of Jesus' life. When Jesus was baptized as our representative, he was baptized to represent us as our champion. When God led Jesus into the wilderness to wander hungry for 40 days, when Jesus faced the great enemy of God's people, the devil himself, we've all failed in the face of temptation. Jesus has won the victory on our behalf as our champion. Where we've doubted the steadfast love of God, Jesus resisted the lies and accusations of the devil, and he entrusted himself to God entirely. Jesus, who is God's own firstborn son, he was struck down at the cross in the most terrible plague of wrath and judgment that God has ever sent into the world in order to save his people. He did it for our sake, to set us free from sin and death, to set us free from all the power of the devil. Jesus plundered the enemy, like what happened here in this psalm. Jesus, in the gospel, plundered the enemy, gave the spoils to his people, and brought us into a new place in our relationship with God to live in his love. So Paul says in Colossians 1, God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So in Christ, God has felled mighty kings before you. The prince of the domain of darkness himself has been felled. Couldn't stop Jesus. Even the gates of hell can't stop his advancing kingdom. In fact, the gospel says that God's hesed love, God's faithful and forever love for his people, is identical to his love for his beloved son, Jesus. The way the Father loves the Son with an eternal love that defines the very being of God is precisely the same way he loves you who are in Christ. God loves you with the same commitment that he loves his own son with. He loves you with the same devotion with which he loves his own son. This vicarious salvation and every moment of the devil's defeat is brought to you by the eternal hesed love of God as fulfillment of his faithful promises to his people. So the constant praising refrain of Jesus' life has always been, God's love is eternal. And now his love is our home, bright and warm. Now his love is the heartbeat of our life, every line of our history, every line of the history of our lives because of the gospel. Now his love is the interpretive perspective that we can bring to everything God does, even if it is beyond our comprehension what God is doing. We know that every moment is brought to us by his faithful love. And now his love can be a constant source of life and encouragement and hope to us, and can become the way that we sing our thankful praises to him through faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's hard to believe that God loves us, but that's why God has given us a pretty simple truth to cling to memorize, this concise confession to insist on, and to interject into our daily lives on a regular basis. His love is eternal. His love is eternal. He's revealed this to us for our good, for our faith, and he's revealed it because his love is eternal. We might not always remember him, but it's he who has remembered us in our low estate because his love is eternal. He's rescued us from our foes because his love is eternal. And he gives food to all flesh because his love is eternal. Everything Yahweh does, he does in hesed love always and forever. As long as the Father loves the Son in the eternal glory of the Holy Spirit, he'll love you with a committed love that nothing can ever stop. Jesus is the covenant promise of that. So give thanks to the God of heaven, for his love is eternal. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being who you are. Holy God, we thank you for being love, for loving us with a love as eternal and essential to you as your own being. Thank you for making the heavens and the earth as places for our joyful fellowship with you. Thank you for creating us in your image for the sake of relating to you as your own beloved Son relates to you. Thank you for forgiving our sins by the blood of Jesus and renewing our life with you by your Holy Spirit alive in us. Thank you for bringing us into new places in our relationship with you by your grace. Thank you for every good gift that comes to us by your eternal love. Help us to believe and remember and celebrate and proclaim the good news that you love us always and forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.